respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Please call item two.
Item two, approval of legacy business registry applications and resolutions. This is a discussion and action item. The commission will discuss and possibly take action to approve legacy business registry applications. Presenting today, we have Richard Carrillo, Legacy Business Program Manager with the Office of Small Business.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Vice President Zizounis, commissioners, city staff, and members of the public. I'm Richard Carrillo, Legacy Business Program Manager. I'd like to acknowledge Michelle Reynolds, my colleague in the Office of Small Business, who provides beneficial assistance to the Legacy Business Program. SFGov TV, I have a PowerPoint presentation. Before you today are six applications for your consideration for the Legacy Business Registry. Each application includes a staff report, a draft resolution, the application itself, and documents from the Planning Department. Two applications were submitted to planning on October 9th and heard by the Historic Preservation Commission on November 6th. Four applications were submitted to planning on November 6th and heard by the HPC on December 4th. Item 2A is Ace Mailing. The business is a full-service direct marketing company established in 1977 and presently located in the Mission District. Ace Mailing offers printing, graphic design, email and postal mail services, list acquisition, database creation, management and maintenance, creative services, fulfillment, and warehousing. Their clients include hundreds of small businesses, large firms, nonprofit organizations, and government entities. At Ace Mailing, you receive reliability, service, and knowledge you can trust. The core feature tradition the business must maintain to remain on Legacy Business Registry is marketing and communication services. Item 2B is African American Shakespeare Company. The nonprofit organization was founded in 1994 and officially incorporated in 1995. African American Shakespeare Company was introduced to open the realm of classic theater to a diverse audience and provide an opportunity and place for actors of color to hone their skills and talent in mastering some of the world's greatest classical roles. They do this by producing work from the canon of classical theater, including Shakespeare and great American and world playwrights, that is lively, entertaining, and relevant. The core feature tradition the business must maintain is theater. Item 2C is Geary Print Shop. The business is a print shop established in 1978 and located in the Laurel Heights neighborhood. Geary Print Shop provides reproduction services in printing, copying, graphic design, and promotional products. They are an experienced group of printers and artists who strive for quality, courtesy, and efficiency in their production methods. They tailor their services to help customers meet their deadlines and budgeting needs. The core feature tradition the business must maintain is printing. Item 2D is Jay's Laundry. The business is a wash and dry laundromat in the Mission that has been providing laundry services since 1986. Jay's Laundry has coin-operated washing machines and dryers for clothes, blankets, and towels with plenty of folding tables to fold each load. Their giant Wascomat washing machines are the industry's finest washers to best serve their loyal customers. The core feature tradition the business must maintain to remain on the Legacy Business Registry is laundry services. Item 2E is Lair's German Specialties. The business is a specialty store dedicated to German and European goods that is located in Noe Valley and was established in 1974. Lair's German Specialties features a comprehensive selection of traditional, unique, and seasonal products, including imported groceries, confections, and beverages, as well as German cosmetics and magazines. They also offer a variety of festive items for celebrations like Easter, Oktoberfest, and Christmas. Lair's has something for everyone, and they look forward to welcoming you and sharing the joy of German culinary excellence. The core feature tradition the business must maintain is grocery store featuring German goods. Item 2F is Walter Adams Framing. The business is a custom art framing company established in 1978 with three locations: Lower Pacific Heights, Presidio Heights, and West Portal. Walter Adams Framing specializes in archival and conservation framing, shadow boxes, custom frame mirrors, acrylic boxes, and photo frames. They understand that the impact of a piece of art can be dramatically affected by the quality of its frame, and their high-quality custom framing is unmatched. Whether it's a valuable oil painting or an irreplaceable photo of a loved one, Walter Adams Framing has the expertise to give your artwork that perfect, tasteful touch. The core feature tradition the business must maintain is Picture Frame Store. Although the businesses met the three criteria required for listing on the Legacy Business Registry, and all have received a positive recommendation from the Historic Preservation Commission, Legacy Business Program staff recommends adding the businesses to the registry and has drafted a resolution for each business for your consideration. A motion in support of the businesses should be framed as a motion in favor of the resolutions. Thank you. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions. There are business representatives present who wish to speak on behalf of the applications during public comment.
Thank you, Richard. Commissioners, any questions or comments before we go to the public? All right. Then we will open for public comment, and please do not be shy. We love to hear from you, so come on up.
If people want to form a line to my left, your right, or just feel free to come up to the mic.
I'm at a certain age where I need reading glasses, so thank you. Thank you, commissioners, for offering the opportunity and for recognizing the invaluable role of legacy business in shaping the vibrant cultural fabric of San Francisco. We are deeply honored to participate in this process. The African American Shakespeare Company has been more than just a theater. It has been a historic pillar in our community, a space where stories are told, voices are amplified, and lives are transformed. For decades, three specifically, we have brought the works of Shakespeare and other classics to life, weaving them with a rich cultural lens that reflects the diversity of our audiences. Through our productions, educational outreach programs, and community partnerships, we've had the privilege of positively impacting the lives of countless of individuals, from inspiring young students to igniting a lifelong love of the arts in audiences of all ages. And in fact, we're doing Cinderella down at the Herb starting December the 20th, so be my guest. San Francisco has always been our home. It's more than our location. It's a heartbeat that drives our work. We are committed to being a beacon for the arts, a sanctuary for underrepresented voices, and a source of inspiration for generations to come. Our dedication to the city is unwavering because we know that art is essential to the life and heritage of any community, and ours proudly represents the remarkable spirit of San Francisco. We hope that our legacy resonates with you as deeply as it does with us. We carry the immense responsibility of preserving and fostering cultural history in our city, and we're grateful for any opportunity to expand this work. Thank you so much for your time.
Good afternoon, Director Tang and commission members. My name is Adam Tongsfoot with Supervisor Mandelman's office in the District 8, on the District 8 team. I'm here today to speak enthusiastically in support of Hannah and Jared's, Lair's German Specialties in Noe Valley. When Hannah reached out to our office, we jumped at the opportunity to get a letter started. What she's doing in the neighborhood is quite inspiring. She helped invigorate and revitalize the area of Church and 28th. As some of you may know, Lair's announced their abrupt closure after 48 years of operating in November of around 2022. And Hannah, who is in the audience, was a loyal customer and an expat of Germany, worked with Mrs. Lair to work on a business transition plan, and to the joy of the neighborhood, reopened in November. And has since been an anchor for this part of the community in Upper Noe, and we couldn't be more proud of Hannah and her team and her business, and we're so grateful they're in District 8. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Hello, everyone. Rick, that was a great presentation of all the legacy businesses. I hope everyone gets it. The Shakespeare one is great. I like Shakespeare, so that's awesome. And just want to start off by saying thank you, guys. My name is Jabra Mahawia. I'm the manager of Jay's Laundry. My grandfather, Jabra, sorry, it's a little emotional for me, but he was running a grocery store next across the street from Jay's Laundry. It wasn't a laundry at the time, and he had the idea of building out the laundromat, and he got the permits approved, and he passed away during construction. My father, John, had to step in and take over the business, and he got the business up and going, got it approved, and it's been a great laundromat since 1986. I've been working at that laundromat since I was 10 years old. I went off to college and graduated, but I came back and I worked 7 days a week for many years throughout the business. One of the great stories that I've had was just interacting with the customers and talking about their lives. And our goal is to keep the laundry. Over the past 3-5 years, the business has gone down, but we are committed to keeping the laundry going strong for generations to come. I want to end by saying this program is really the spirit of America and the bloodline of San Francisco entrepreneurship. Everyone is a legend to someone in this world, and it's very difficult to become famous, but it's truly other people that tell your story, and I think this program does a great job at it. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the time and consideration. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Gwen Kaplan. I, along with my mother, founded Ace Mailing in 1977 in our garage in North Beach. And from there, we moved out of that garage. We were there about a year. And in, we moved to Fort Mason, where we were a support service to the nonprofit groups. In Building A, we came at the same time as Green's Restaurant. And we had an office there until 93. And in 83, however, we moved to the Mission at 720 York Street. And then in 1986, we bought our warehouse on 16th between Folsom and Harrison. And we have been on 16th Street between Folsom and Harrison ever since. I am proud to be here, not only by representing myself and my mother and my husband, who was also a great help with his brains and brawn in opening a business that was still is totally male-dominated. However, I am proud to see my two sons here, who are the third generation, so now our business is male-dominated also. They are fifth-generation San Franciscans through their husband's side of the family, through my husband's side of the family. They went to school right up the hill at Sacred Heart. So anyway, we are delighted and proud to be here and appreciate the recognition, and particularly at this time when we are all emphasizing resilience, and we are emphasizing resilience along. So thank you very much.
To adjust up now this time. Good afternoon. My name is Lloyd Haddad. I am a resident and business owner in San Francisco. I'm representing Walter Adams Framing. A little over two years ago, my partner Keith Wicker and I received a phone call from the then owners of Walter Adams saying, "We want to retire." We know that this business had been around for since 1978, and we saw it as an opportunity because if they retired, the business would close. And this is a long-standing, well-respected business, and we felt the opportunity for growth for us also would extend in prolonging the business and not losing yet another potentially important business in the city. When we took over the company, we had 3 full-time employees. We now have 9. We are on a growth plan, and the first part of our growth plan is the legacy business status that we're honored to be here today. We see Walter Adams as increasingly important as a diverse employer and service provider for our communities, not only in the local districts of our shops, but actually all over the Bay Area. So we had some really great applications that we heard from today. We hope on everybody's behalf that you guys provide a yes vote for everybody, and we move forward and grow our business. Thank you so much.
Wong. I'm from Gary Crenshaw. My father started the business in 1978. And when I finished college, he got a job in United Way, so passed it to me in 1984. So you can imagine how many years of business I've been in. I'm serving mainly the Gary Corridor and the Clement Street area. And it's a tough business. It's not easy to survive. There were 7 print shops during the past 35 years that was in the neighborhood. But right now, we are the only one. And it's not easy because everything is expensive. The paper price went up twice since the pandemic. Labor is hard to find. It used to be young people, they are willing to come in and try out in this trade. But nowadays, it's very hard to find a printer. So the only attraction I want to be in the legacy business is because of rent. You know, when my father started in 1978, the rent is only $425. But when they keep on raising the rent and they want to kick you out, they raise it to $3,000. Then we have to move. We move to another location. It's the same thing. So after a few years, the landlord will just keep on raising your price. It's hard to survive in this business. So I need the support from the city. And when I heard about this program, it's very important because the last print shop in that neighborhood could be gone anytime. Luckily, I have a very nice landlord. But the problem is that he's trying to sell his business, his building, because apparently with today's economy, a lot of business went out of business. So empty stores, he cannot maintain the building. So I'm afraid that if he did sell his business, I'm going to go through the whole cycle of increasing rent because there's no protection for retail store rental in San Francisco. So the thing is, obviously I'm happy to be part of the program because I can get lots of support from the city. And then with all the years of experience, I help out the schools, the community. Like right now there's lots of, Clement Street has lots of activity going on in which they need the support. I support all the small businesses over there, and I offer all the discount for them so that they can continue doing business. And I support the city also. I print stuff for the city. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who spoke. If that's it for the audience, then public comment is closed. And commissioners, any thoughts or motions on the floor? Commissioner William Cartagena Ortiz Cartagena, please.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. I want to appreciate everyone here. Again, I know I say it all the time, but you guys are what make San Francisco. Gwen, you're always in the neighborhood outside of the scope of being a business owner. You're always, advicating for other small businesses in the neighborhood. Jay's, I knew your grandpa when he was little. I remember the store because I'm from the backs, you know, from the Mission, Alabama, all that area, you know, Hampshire. So, I mean, just to see generational growth like that, man, I love it. The African-American Shakespeare, like, you would give San Francisco flavor. Only in San Francisco, you know, things like this could flourish and nourish. And I just love for what y'all do in the community. You know, you bring something, that culture that we're known from in the city. So I know you could be working on your business in your business. There's other things, you know, it's the holiday season. But I appreciate for y'all coming out here. And I'm just honored. I'm honored. So thank you.
Commissioner Benitez.
Hello. It's working? Okay. Hi. Well, I just want to thank everybody for coming through and love hearing all these stories. This is always one of my favorite parts of the meeting. So just want to congratulate you all on the success and the longevity that you guys have created and established here in San Francisco. It's just like Commissioner Ortiz said, you guys are definitely the backbone and the heartbeat of the city. Just very quickly, there's a lot of things I can relate to, especially to Jay's Laundry. Knowing that it's multi-generational. I also own a small business. I'm on Devez. I have a 10-year-old, almost 10. She's 9. She hangs out at the shop, but when she gets bored, she actually hangs out at the nail salon. But she doesn't have a career at the store. At least maybe it's a career in marketing, because I always ask her what she does at the nail salon. She tells people to come to the store. So, you know, a little cross-promotion there. But I love seeing that you know, it stays within the family as best as it can, that you continue on the legacy. The other thing I wanted to also talk about very quickly that really struck me was the African-American Shakespeare Company. I know last night was the Kennedy Center Honors, and I just saw kind of highlights of it that was going on. And one of the things that stuck with me, I can't remember who said the quote, but it said, "The power of the arts can redeem the soul of the nation." So keep doing what you're doing and do for the city. And then lastly, just want to leave it, I'm a man of quotes all the time. One of the things I've always kind of struck out, you know, like we used to have two stores, but at the end of the day, you know, your establishment, we don't build stores, we build stories. And I think that's what everybody does with the establishment that they have. You have people who come through, you've probably seen first dates, first books, first pictures, things like that. And people come back later on, but you have stories to hold on to and stories to tell. So keep doing what you're doing, and thank you for being a part of San Francisco.
Love it. Commissioner Dickerson, please.
Yes, I want to thank you all, as well as my fellow commissioners have said. Thank you for being here today. This is one of the highlights of what we do as a commission, and I always like to remind you all as well that all of the commissioners here are small business owners. So every time you all are getting up and telling your stories, trust me when I tell you it's relatable here. And we wanted to say, well, let me put it to you this way. We celebrate you. We thank you for the resilience. We thank you for what you have given to this city. We couldn't be sitting here today had it not been for the true legacy status of you all with your perseverance and your love for what you do. Yes, challenges are there. Yes, it can be very difficult. And yes, it can make you question what you do, but it's because of your endurance and your push through that we are grateful that you are here. And so I just want to celebrate every single one of you. And like I say in every meeting, trust me when I tell you, you're going to see me one day. I'm going to come and check you all out. So again, congratulations and thank you for all that you've done.
Thank you, commissioners. I'll say a couple things before we engage in motion as well. Thank you all for coming and for being in the audience tonight and for coming up and speaking and representing your businesses. I love that we get some nonprofits in here as well, and the arts are definitely something that intersect with small businesses, so we love to see that. Shout out to the ethnic independent grocery stores and the multi-generational family businesses. Working with alongside your parents and grandparents is not easy sometimes coming from a family business, but it's the most rewarding type of work. And of course, Gwen, thank you for being here. You are already, before this vote, a legacy. As a woman advocate in the small business community, you've always supported me and many other small business representatives. So thank you. Rick, thanks for putting together an amazing presentation, as always. And for those of you businesses that are struggling and and need extra marketing support, this program offers so much. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us. And all the materials that the Legacy Business Program presents, I think, are very, very useful. And I hope it can support you all. And with that, do we have any motions on the floor for the adoption of these small businesses?
I will motion for the adoption of each one of these legacy businesses today.
Anybody have a second?
I second that motion.
Right on.
Motion to approve legacy business registry applications, Commissioner Dickerson, and seconded by Commissioner Benitez. I'll read the roll. Commissioner Benitez? Commissioner Cornett's absent. Commissioner Dickerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Herbert and President Huey are absent. Commissioner Ortiz-Cartagena?
Yes.
Vice President Zuzunas?
Yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you. Okay. We'll let everybody go out before we start yelling about budget. Thank you all. You're welcome to stay for our budget item, but hopefully you have a nice picture outside. I want to give the, can I run to just give somebody?
Yeah, let me, I'm just going to upload the PowerPoint.
Thank you, everyone, again. And yeah, we will call item number three and welcome our. Oh, okay, great. Director, thank you for being here. Welcome.
Item three, fiscal year 2025-26 and 26-27 budget instructions. This is a discussion item. The commission will review and discuss the fiscal outlook and budget instructions for the upcoming fiscal years. Presenting today, we have Director Sarah Dennis Phillips. Thank you for joining us.
Commissioners, thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, let me do that one.
Working? Should Sorry. I do the other one? Is that okay? Better. Hello. You're very close to me, so I don't even know if I need this, but and I'm going to speak less eloquently and probably less prepared than Merrick, who is our budget director, who had a conflict and couldn't be here today. But you know, it's interesting just with the last item and legacy businesses, you were talking about the challenges many small businesses are having. In the same vein, that's what we're going to be talking about with the budget today. Not great news. So, you know, and I, in some of you may have read in the papers about the mayor's budget direction. I'll just maybe walk you through, you know, what we've learned so that you have the same information and we can flip through some of it. So, the fiscal outlook is not good. Many of us were expecting this, but it put some color on it, right? We are expecting almost a $900 million two-year deficit, over $253 million deficit in this pending fiscal year, coming fiscal year, and then another over almost $625 million in year two, 26-27. The reason for that is our expenditures as a city, based on labor and other costs, are going to far surpass our revenue growth. And that's projected to continue for about 5 years, at least as far as we're looking forward. The big takeaway, and we'll go into the details of why this is, are ongoing permanent spending reductions of 15%, starting with the budget that we are preparing for the city, the Board of Supervisors, and the mayor-elect this summer for the start of FY25-26. And, you know, just to give you a sense of where all this is coming from, this is a chart of our revenues over expenditures, and that shows how the deficit actually is projected to grow over the next 5 years. and that's the context and we're looking in. We, you know, this gives a little more color too on the business tax shifts that we will see, partially because of the adoption of Prop M, which the voters helped adopt in November, but also other changes through business taxes as businesses close in FY26. Hotel tax receipts are down. Fees, we're going to see a loss in fees. Part of the real benefit for small businesses of Prop M was a reduction of DPW, DPH, and other fees for small businesses, but that comes at a cost. And so that's a cost that will help add to our deficit as well. We're not assuming a recession, but we are assuming very modest economic revenue growth. We are not projecting to see an increase in major tax revenues for quite some time. And again, that's not just due to Prop M, but it is kind of a, I think, a small business support component of it that doesn't help on the revenue side. Salaries and benefits are increasing, as well as a rate of return on our pension investments. We're seeing CPI growth on non-personnel costs. So contracts, other capital expenditures are going up as well. I'll let you peruse the math if you want. It's not something I can speak to very eloquently up here. But this is what's changed. You know, there are a couple significant factors since our last budget of July 1, so we're about 5 months from that. The revenue projections have been further revised downward for all the reasons we mentioned. The inflationary pressure on our contracts, leases, CBO grants, and materials and supplies, we're continuing to see that even as inflation kind of stabilizes. It is an upward trend. We've got voter-approved November ballot initiatives beyond Prop M that impact education, children's services, housing, retirement, and staffing cost mandates that are adding to that burden. Previous budgets, both this past year, FY24-25, and the previous one, did rely heavily on one-time sources to kind of balance our budget, and we're not going to have those as a way to move forward, to save ourselves moving forward. So the loss of those one-time services, both COVID funds that came post-COVID, disaster relief, and general fund reserves have been used to balance previous year budgets, so we cannot rely on those anymore. There are risks additionally beyond just the city that we're looking at. There is a state budget shortfall that may impact services in San Francisco. Federal policies under the pending Trump presidency are of concern and have unknown future impacts to not only the grants that we receive from the federal government, but changes to Medicare and Medicaid may mean we as a city have to step in and provide more, as the federal government isn't. So that's a concern as well. Assessment appeals are a concern as we look at the transition downtown, and our office buildings, frankly, aren't worth as much as they were. The longer that situation persists, the more we have buildings coming in and requesting a reassessment, and the more we have actual data where we can't refuse those reassessments as they come in and request them. So the city doesn't proactively reduce property tax assessments, but when somebody makes an appeal, we do have to look at it from a database, and so we're losing revenue that way as well. And then business tax risks. There are some pending tax appeals that threaten over $400 million in business tax revenue. It is our hope that the implementation of Prop M from this year's budget will hopefully lead to settlement or removal of some of those tax appeals and litigation. But we're not sure till it happens, so it's another risk that's out there that we need to look at. Salary and benefits, if for Mayor Breed and the city, it was very important to support the city's workforce, but that does result in an increase of over $900 million in staffing costs over the next five fiscal years. Required baseline contributions to set asides within the general fund also grow by over $200 million, so that's money that can't be used to, balance the rest of the budget. And then citywide operating costs are, of course, increasing, as we've noticed. as well as inflation on public health operating costs, other program growth, shelter costs due to expiring state grants, and we want to make sure to preserve our housing, particularly for housing and formerly homeless, subsidized housing for formerly homeless. And this is just a graph that shows salary and benefit growth since 2018. This also shows the cost of our health system and how those benchmarks are moving up. And, you know, our remote work trends continue to affect our not only the property tax side of things as we see reassessments, but actually the amount of sales tax revenue, hotel activity, and convention activity that we're seeing happen downtown. We do project that those things will stabilize over downtown as some of our downtown recovery strategies take place, and we re-envision downtown as a more stabilized, less office-focused district. But that's, you know, that's not tomorrow. That's the next decade where we really see those things stabilize. A little bit of a showing how the revenue per available room has not done very well post-COVID, and our hotel industry is suffering from that in a big way. We have actually a number of hotels that are pending bank loans being taken back by their lenders just because of the lack of revenue coming in from those hotel industry places. So what does all that mean for our budget? It means the mayor has set forth that she wants us to maintain core city services, public safety and clean streets among those, that we need to not let our foot off the gas on the progress we're making in decreasing unsheltered homelessness, and making sure we're pairing that with effective mental health treatment. And there's a priority to improve efficiency, which is a goal I know we all share, right? How do we do what we need to do better and more cost effectively, both in delivering services and in reporting back to our decision makers about the effect of those services so that we can continue doing them? So key priorities, but with those priorities, we are being directed to reduce general fund spending by 15% for every department as we move forward, beginning in fiscal year 25-26. Along with that, as we propose the budget, we should be assessing all of our nonprofit grants out the door to make sure they are achieving what we want them to achieve and that they are working efficiently, with explicit direction to make sure we're funding CBOs that are demonstrating outcomes of what we want to achieve. The onus is partly on our department to be very clear that we have metrics that we want to meet, to help our CBOs meet those metrics, and then to be able to showcase to the board, to you all on our commissions, of that we are meeting those metrics moving forward. In terms of contractual services, particularly professional services that we hire, there's going to be a whole lot of scrutiny applied to those. So anything that's not performed by staff, we should be looking at those hard. We don't have a whole lot of those within OEWD, particularly OSB, but it is something that's citywide direction. Eliminate any vacancies on the staffing side, on the city personnel side. Do not add any new FTEs. And so the hiring that we're doing are just replacing critical positions that are vacant and then holding everything else stable. And then consider hiring freezes. There are no layoffs directed at this time, so that's good. But it does mean we're going to have to work with what we have, basically on a personnel basis. And year two, there's some pending direction, and I'm sure we'll get more as we approach the 26-27 budget. But for now, reorganize to eliminate redundancies so that we can make sure across departments, across the city level, that we are not doing the same thing in different places and therefore losing efficiency. And then this is kind of a footnote that probably doesn't mean a whole lot to this commission, but when we do nonprofit contracts, every year we see a cost of living or cost of doing business increase of 3% that is added to that. It does increase cost of the contract without necessarily getting more services, so let's reduce that to be more in line with CPI from 3% to 2.4% as a kind of minor side of cost savings. Don't book travel. There's not a whole lot of travel going on in OEWD or OSB. We're focused on the city, but it is city directive, and make sure that any grants we put out the door have performance data and impact metrics attached to them so that the board and the mayor can make strong decisions about what they're funding. And budget transparency legislation requires 1 to 2 public meetings before February 14th, and I believe this is one of those meetings for OSB. So with that, and here's just a set of when we're going to, on a department level, be submitting our budgets. We should get an updated 6-month controller's report in February before we submit our budgets in late February. We don't expect a whole lot of change from what I'm telling you today, but there'll be a one more check to make sure the city's revenues and costs are moving as projected given these directions. So, not fun. What can I answer? And Katie, Executive Director Hang, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, please, Director. Oh, sure. Thank you. I really appreciate you, Sarah, giving that overview for everyone. And we are, as you probably know, but for the newer commissioners here, OSB's budget is part of OEWD's budget. And so I'll be working very closely with Sarah and team to identify the reductions that the mayor's budget office have requested. But our budget is roughly $3.7 million, so really a small piece of the pie here. So we don't have a whole lot of room. Most of the funding that we provide is for people who provide direct services to small business owners. It will be challenging, but again, luckily we're part of a bigger departmental budget, and we'll make those trade-off conversations together.
And I'll just note that on behalf of OEWD, we don't expect, understanding how the Office of Small Business nests within the OEWD budget and the very efficient and cost-effective work they do with a small and mighty budget, we want to preserve that to the extent we can. I think there are other areas where we have CBO contracts where we're going to see much bigger reductions.
Commissioner Dickerson, are you still on stack? No. No, you're good? Okay. Commissioner Ortiz Cartagena, all you.
Thank you, Director, for that presentation. Just two things. One, Director Tang, how can we help, as commissioners to advocate? I know it's 15% across the board, but like you just pointed out, and I do want to go on the record, is this office, and not that I have a bias, obviously, because I'm a commissioner, but it really does punch above its weight. Like the ROI for that $3.7 million, what the services Katie and her team does, I mean, I'll put that with any department, pound for pound, like that ROI. So, not to advocate on behalf, right? But anything that we could do as commissioners to make that case to whomever or whatever, we just want to put it on the record that the ROI is big and the data shows it.
Yeah.
Straight up. So, just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I would dare say most of the cities in with agreement will, but appreciate that offer. And if we need it, we'll work together to move that forward. And I think the biggest lesson about these cuts probably for, for OSB or other areas that really do punch above their weight and are really effective in working staff to support a broader sector like our small business sector is just let's preserve that work as much as we can and probably let's just be restrained when we if there are areas like more legacy business funding, while we'd love to do that, this is the tough time to do that, where we're adding more money. But we'll fight like heck to retain what we are doing because clearly it's having such an impact.
Thank you, Director. If I could ask if there's any more detail around some of the state and federal funding directly related to OEWD and. The small business services side of OSB as well. I know that Small Business Development Center is comes from federal, and then we have a lot of just workforce funding general, maybe not coming to this office, but maybe the other side of OEWD. I'm just trying to understand more specifically, like if some of that stuff that we've relied on annually is.
at risk. You know, many of the grants, particularly, I mean, OSBA generally does not rely on any of those fund sources outside of SBDC. So I'll let the executive director, Tan, speak to that. With regard to our workforce funding, that generally comes through federal and state grants that once the grants are made, they're very difficult to retract. So I think we are okay for services and programs that we've initiated under those grants that we've been awarded. It is hard to build a budget that continues those moving forward, so there's just uncertainty there. The other area that may affect small business and that we're keeping a real eye on are things like CDBG funds, which, you know, funds our Community Economic Development Division, funds some of our works in some of our most important corridors and vulnerable neighborhoods. And so we have that funding for this year. We're just keeping an eye on it. And I think that's where we'll be watching for vulnerabilities.
And is that usually get contracted out to the CBOs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Just out of curiosity, Director, I know that $400 million is probably larger businesses, but do we know on top of head, like, who are they?
I'm sorry.
The $400 million in potential business tax?
The litigation. Yeah, yeah. We don't, because that is confidential to the city attorney's basis on what litigation they've received. So I don't know where that is.
But we could assume it's the larger ones. It's not a cluster of smaller business.
No. That is right. Those are mostly, that vulnerability is related to certain large taxpayers that believe they've found something that they think is less than legal in the way we impose our business tax system, or, and to be correct, the way our previous pre-Prop M adoption business system was imposed. And so they are, it's pending litigation where they've put out a charge where they think they are due back that amount of money, but I know that the Comptroller's Office and the Treasurer and Tax Collector, in helping to design Prop M before it was taken up by the small business and other supporters community, it was designed to take some of those issues into account. So, fingers crossed.
Okay, they should pay. They made money in the city.
Yeah.
Don't be cheap.
Thank you. Any other questions, Commissioners? Okay. Thank you, Director. We appreciate your time and
thanks for your
working
time
through all of that with us. I don't think we need to do anything with this item except comment. Yeah, except public comment. Okay. Thank you. Public comment on this item? No? All right. Sounds good. Public comment's closed. And, yeah, I don't think we need to vote or anything. Yeah, okay, closed, unless any other discussion.
Item 4, approval of draft meeting minutes. This is a discussion and action item. The commission will discuss and take action to approve the October 28th, 2024 draft meeting minutes.
Commissioners, any questions or motions on our for our minute? Or we'll take public comment and then we'll take a motion. But no? Okay. Any public comment? All right. Public comment closed. Do we have a motion to adopt the minutes?
I motion to approve.
Got a second?
I'll second.
Okay, great.
Motion by Commissioner Benitez to adopt the minutes, seconded by Commissioner Dickerson. Commissioner Benitez? Commissioner Dickerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Cartagena?
Yes.
And Vice President Zazunas?
Yes.
Motion
next item.
Passed. Item 5, general public comment, discussion item. No members of the public appear to request to speak.
Okay, public comment is closed.
Item 6, director's report. This is a discussion item. Update and report on the Office of Small Business, department programs, policy, and legislative matters, announcements from the mayor, and announcements regarding small business activities.
Thank you, Director. You have the floor.
All right. Good evening, commissioners. I'll start out with some bad news first, which is that we were working on some legislation to waive impact fees for change of use projects, so projects going from production, distribution, repair, and then switching to a non-residential use. Had heard from some of the businesses that we've been working with on permitting about the astronomical costs that they pay on top of permit fees. So can range from $15,000 to even $100,000. And some of the types of businesses that we worked with include, you know, maybe a chocolate maker, and it could also impact child care centers and so forth. So we were not able to get that legislation over the finish line, but we will continue to explore cost savings for businesses that are trying to start or expand in San Francisco. So we are going to look at things more holistically. So I'll get that out of the way, and then just wanted to share on Friday and Saturday, we had the holiday pop-up that our office normally organizes. I want to thank Mary Ann Thompson and even Carrie and Michelle and Iris from our office who helped out. This year, we did something different. We typically have this holiday pop-up featuring over 40 makers in City Hall, and a lot of employees actually end up shopping there and supporting local small businesses. This year, with all the troubles downtown, we wanted to experiment with an empty mall. And so we brought the pop-up to the San Francisco Center in the Rotunda, and you know, it was, you know, mixed reactions because there's you know, less foot traffic downtown, but it certainly was the year to experiment. And so that happened on Friday and Saturday, and we were thrilled to see a lot of other neighborhood holiday markets pop up featuring small business makers as well. So we had, I think, over 70 businesses this time participate, which was great. Also, good news, we wanted to share that you may have seen this, which is that with the passage of Proposition M, which will be restructuring our business taxes in San Francisco, that there was also accompanying legislation that went through the Board of Supervisors, and that was adopted and passed by them recently, which is great because it'll waive 49 license fees. Which will benefit small businesses on an ongoing basis. So annually, especially if you are a business paying fees to the Department of Public Health in particular, you will see either your bill be $0 or something greatly reduced. So that is really, really exciting. And with the adoption of that ordinance, it will take effect 2026. So that is when people will start seeing the bills reduced. So that was wonderful to work on, and we really want to thank the Treasurer and Tax Collector's Office, our colleagues at OEWD, and the Controller's Office for that really hard work. And then lastly, just want to share something fun. Our office was able to tour the new flower market, which is going to be located at 16th and Mississippi Streets. And so about, I think, 20 to 30 of the flower vendors will be moving over there actually at the end of this month. And so it's such a unique market. Really hope that once it's open in the new location, if any of you want to go tour, please let us know. We'd love to connect you with the executive director there. But really want to see them thrive. It's been challenging times for them. Both due to the pandemic and the development. And so we're glad to see that they'll finally be moving very soon. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
What's the address of the new flower market?
It's at the corner of 16th and Mississippi.
Our late commissioner, Kathleen Dooley, would be very proud. Commissioners, any questions on our director's report? I mean, I would love to know a little more about what happened with the change of use legislation, but if it's something to talk offline, that's fine.
No, I mean, I can share here that, you know, I think some of the community members are really concerned that this legislation would remove one of several disincentives to replace PDR uses. You know, we actually heard at the Planning Commission that there's actually about roughly 9% PDR space vacancies in the city. We wanted to share, well, what we want to, I think, point out is that there are zoning controls in place currently that actually disincentivize the replacement of PDR in that we find to be more impactful. So for example, in certain neighborhoods like the Bayview, if you are replacing production distribution repair spaces, you actually have to replace it at a 1-for-1 ratio, in some places even more. There might be some other neighborhoods where you aren't allowed to build certain things like maybe housing or office if there was previously PDR use, or it might require conditional use authorization for something else. So we felt strongly that zoning controls were actually more of a disincentive. However, we understand the community's concerns as well, that they don't want to see certain types of businesses move out of the city. But I'll just end by saying that most of the projects that we've seen and have worked on with permitting, they're going to spaces that have already been vacant. So they weren't actually displacing anyone that was still trying to be in operation.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, commissioners? Okay, item is, or public comment on director's report. Seeing none, public comment is closed on this item. Next item, please.
Item 7, Commissioner Discussion and New Business. This is a discussion item allowing the President, Vice President, and Commissioners to report on recent small business activities, make announcements that are of interest to the small business community, and make inquiries of staff, allows commissioners to introduce new agenda items for future consideration by the Commission.
Thank you, Carrie. Commissioners, anybody have updates? Please, Commissioner Ortiz-Cartagena.
Thank you. This Saturday, we went with Office of OAWD, Rafa Moreno, and we were thrilled to open a new business on 24th Street, Mission Barbershop. And what really highlights is because it's part of all the programs that OAWD has regarding grants, the real estate agents. So it's just a culmination of all the programs and all the work that we do and continued efforts to reduce the storefront vacancies. So really thrilled. It was a hard win. We really negotiated with the property owner to get that barbershop in there. And it's really, somebody from the neighborhood that came back and is living his dream, opening his barbershop. Another thing I did is I did a walkthrough with Director Alaric from DPW along Leland, the commercial district corridor. And we just addressed some of the dumping issues that neighborhood has, we get massive, for a small commercial corridor, we get massive amounts of appliance waste and mattresses, and it's just almost ridiculous. So coming up with solutions, shout outs to Mission Blue Kelly, because she facilitated the walk, I coordinated, but I think we got some real good stuff done in that meeting, so it was pretty cool. And lastly, just for the record, I am going to bring up CMFO, Walmart's, CMMO, Compact Mobile Food. So, you know me, I'm persistent. You know how long it took me to get these laptops? 7 years. So, I have patience. I'm like a doctor.
Commissioner Dickerson, you're up.
Small business first, I wanted to say I'm really proud to say that U3FIT will be celebrating 5 years in business this year. Yeah, very grateful to be able to say that in 2024, entering 2025. And in that celebration, I'm very excited to announce 1945 Lounge, which is now owned by an African-American, a wonderful woman. Her name is LaTanya. She's at Fifth Leland. And so we collaborate, and I'll be having my event at her space. So we're very excited about that. I wanted to be, every time I saw her doing the work, I just thought, man, we have to flood this place. And when I went in and we got to talking and vibe, it was just such good energy. Their heart is so perfect for that community. That space has been vacant for so long. LaTanya at 1945 Lounge has opened. She's just been open for a month, but she's already booked. So I'm really, really excited to make that announcement about that restaurant. And so that's really what I wanted to
to promote. So congratulations, LaTanya.
I love it.
It was the wings.
I love it.
The wings. It was the wings.
Any other shout outs or announcements from commissioners? I have two items I wanted to potentially raise for new business or just pose for any feedback back to the commission. One is I know that our staff and OEWD staff have been helping small businesses with a particular planning code regarding window coverage. So thank you to director and staff who are helping small businesses navigate how to comply with that. In particular, I've had some conversations too with supervisor offices that and planning staff that maybe think this might be an opportunity to revise the legislation so that we can avoid pathways that small businesses are forced to take that and accrue a lot of money, like getting a variance or something. Maybe this is something that we have some case studies that maybe we can present back to the commission and maybe invite some interested staff or I don't know. I wanted to pose it to see if, Director, you felt like this was also an opening to maybe bring this to the commission and see if other businesses are also facing the same type of issue with this particular planning code, and if you think that it's something that we might want to bring to a policy discussion. So that was the first thing that I wanted to bring up, and we can explain a little more to everybody what exactly we're talking about if you're not familiar with this planning code. Like, for example, it's meant to address advertisements not covering windows, but some small businesses are getting violations because of large size refrigeration they have that's also blocking windows, and it's kind of creating an issue. So that's kind of something I wanted to raise. The other one is I had a question about what warrants a department, city department, notifying a business's landlord if there's a business violation. Like, are there certain types of violations that require a department to notify a landlord? Because I have seen a business be evicted because DPH told their landlord about a violation they had, and I didn't know that that was something they could do. So, yeah, that was a question I had as well.
Great, thank you. We can follow up and have a further discussion about the first item you talked about, window transparency, just to answer the question. So for certain departments, like Department of Public Health, they'll notify the business first, and if they don't get, they might actually also, in certain cases, simultaneously notify the landlord. But I do know that DPH in general tries to work with the business owner first, and if they're not getting any response to a notice or so forth, then they will notify the property owner. What happens is that the departments don't have any leverage when there are businesses that don't respond to violations. And as you all probably know, when you're renting a space and let's say you need to run your business or you even need to do some tenant improvements, you always need to get your property owner's approval or permission first. So sometimes what these notices do, the threat of the lien, unfortunately, it is very serious, but sometimes that is the only way that some of these city departments have been able to get a business or the property owner to actually respond. So I do understand that it is quite harsh, but the city has no other tool then if someone is making an egregious violation and they're not responding to the city. That's really the only mechanism. So you'll see that with cases like graffiti abatement, right? I think property owners have received those from DPW. Definitely for building code violations, they'll go to the property owner because they're actually the ones on the hook for these building improvements. Even for ADA lawsuits, actually technically speaking, both property owners and small business owners, or I should say just commercial tenants, are, if they have a place of public accommodation, are on the hook as well. So I don't know if that, hopefully that answers your question, but happy to discuss further offline if you need.
Okay, commissioners, seeing no more comments from us, any comments from the public? All right, this item is closed as well. Next item.
Item 8, adjournment. SFGovTV, please show the Office of Small Business slide.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We will end with a reminder that the Small Business Commission is the official public forum to voice your opinions and concerns about policies that affect the economic vitality of small businesses in San Francisco. If you need assistance with small business matters, continue to reach out to the Office of Small Business. And meeting adjourned. Thank you.